Let's open in our Bibles to 2 Timothy.
We'll go ahead and read the first six verses. Well, there's a lot here, and that first verse here in this chapter really captured my attention. So let's go ahead and read these first six verses. We'll pray and ask God's blessing as we look into His Word, and then we'll move forward from there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture and the many wonderful things you instruct us in here. Lord, now we just dedicate this time to you, that you'd be glorified in all that's said and done. Help us to make good decisions that honor and glorify you as a result of the study of your word. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, this first verse itself just captivated me, and I kind of wanted to stay in here the whole evening, but it kind of works ahead with the whole passage that we read today. But the whole idea of being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's quite a statement when you think about it. What is grace? You see, grace is something that we don't deserve. I remember when I first got saved, the fellow who led me to the Lord, his name was Wes Rowe, encouraged me and a couple other fellows my age to get into a Bible study, a weekly Bible study. And so at my friend Todd Castor's house, where the Bible study was held, Wes Rowe was teaching us from the book of Ephesians. And I still remember, now this goes all the way back to, would have been early spring, late winter of 1980. So you're talking almost 40 years. But I still remember the definition he gave us of grace. And it's an acronym with the letters that spell out grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's what grace is. God makes available to us all of His riches. Everything that God possesses, He says, can be yours. Now, obviously, we don't deserve it. We don't do anything to merit God's grace in our lives or God's riches in our lives. And that's why you have the second half of that definition. At Christ's expense. When He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, that was the price that needed to be paid for us to be partakers, to us have the privilege to be able to tap into those riches that God has as God, as our Creator, as the sustainer of all, as being omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. We can tap into all those riches simply because of what Christ did for us on Calvary. Now, it's very obvious that those that aren't saved, that those that are lost, cannot tap into the grace of God. But those of us that are saved, this is the normal Christian experience. God's grace in our lives. And so what a wonderful thing that He's made available to us. And as we consider what grace is, then, we look at it in the context of this verse. At least this is my thought process. When Timothy is commanded to be strong in God's grace. Now, how do you become strong in something that you just don't deserve? Something that you cannot merit? Something that you cannot earn? Something that you cannot tell God, you must give me this, because if you do any of that, it ceases to be grace. Then it's debt that God owes you what He's giving you, because you deserve it. And so how can you be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus? I don't think the answer is all that complicated. I think the answer is just simply yielding fully to Him. trying to step outside of our own wisdom, of our own logic, of our own strength, of our own training, of our own natural ability, trying to step outside of all of that. Because if we're going to try to serve God, and that's the context here in this passage of Scripture, that Paul is going to give a commission here in a moment to Timothy, about teaching others, in other words, of ministry. The only way Timothy would be able to accomplish this task that he's given to do for God is if he steps outside of himself and leaves all of himself outside. And as he steps through the door of ministry, he allows the Holy Spirit to fill him and allows the Holy Spirit to use him and allowing the Holy Spirit to empower him. That's the only way ministry can ever be accomplished, is by the grace of God. And so the way I understand this, the way we become strong in grace, is to just simply die to self. And that's exactly what Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 tells us. Dearly beloved, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so it's almost as if Paul is giving that personal commandment or beseechment to Timothy here in this verse that we're looking at. Be strong in the grace. Just simply let God work through us. It's a very simple principle to understand, but it's not always so simple to apply, is it? And so sometimes when we're asked to do something by God, we hesitate because we think, I cannot do this. We think, I do not have the ability. I do not have the training. I do not have the verses memorized. I do not have, and I can't, and I won't. And we sound like Moses when God called Moses on the backside of the desert. We're coming up with excuse after excuse why we can't be used by God. And the reason we make those excuses is because we're not strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. If we learn to be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, we'll attack anything God asks us to do with enthusiasm and with zeal. And we'll just look at it, as the phrase I use so often, just another adventure. Don't know how it's going to turn out at the beginning of the journey. And at the end of the journey, I may look back and scratch my head as to why did God ever have it work like this. But nevertheless, this is the path God asked me to tread. And by His grace, I walk along that path. And however it turns out, is for God's glory. And I believe according to God's will, apart from my failures along the way. So I receive a great challenge from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Die to self. Just let God lead you and God fill you and God empower you. And this isn't just for teaching a Sunday school class. This isn't just for the preacher and the missionary. This is for all of us every moment of every day. This is the way we're to live our lives. If we're going to let our light so shine before men that they may behold our works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, the only way that's ever going to happen if we're strong in the grace of God, if we've died to self and live unto Christ. Paul said it another way in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so that's the way that we're supposed to live. That's supposed to be the normal Christian experience on a day-by-day basis. And so if you're in the workplace or in the home and someone says something that, you know how it happens when you just kind of see red? If you're led to the Holy Spirit, you know what happens? That red goes away. And the Holy Spirit takes over and you're able to answer in a gracious way. And that anger or that wrath does not happen. You don't necessarily have that get-even spirit unless you're Michigan versus Ohio State. Then it's okay. But I didn't just say that out loud, did I? Hate it when that happens. But you know, when the Holy Spirit is leading us, and when we're dead to self, these things are different. The way we interact with others is entirely changed. Because we're not living according to the lust of the flesh. We're living according to the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love? Okay, I've gotten all of them in all the responses. One that we misunderstand so often is temperance, because if you look at any definition of temperance, what is it? It's self-control. And if we would define it in most situations, you define it as self-control, but when it's a fruit of the Spirit, it's not self-control, but it's spirit control. And I think that's a key in being strong in the grace of God. Letting the Spirit control us. We talked a little bit about the verse being led of the Spirit this morning when we were studying the Holy Spirit. That's supposed to be the way we live our lives. And if we'll do that, we'll be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Now, why would Timothy need this grace? Well, the first reason I've already talked about this is in the next verse. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy needed the grace of God to fulfill the commission that was being given to him. Now, Timothy was naturally a timid man. He was a very humble man from what we can gather from what the Apostle Paul writes to him about and what God reveals about his nature. He was a man who didn't necessarily stand up and exert himself, and God has quite a task for him. You see, Christianity is only one generation from extinction. We all know that. And so this is God's plan to keep that from happening. That those of us that know the truths of the Word of God are to pass those truths on to the next generation. And I'm afraid in our day and age and in our culture today and in modern church that is not happening. I don't know how many churches you can go to that'll hear a doctrinal sermon like I tried to preach today. How successful it was, I'm not sure, but I hope you understand the Holy Spirit just a little bit better than when you came this morning. You see, we need to have a proper understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. And we need to have a proper understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And we need to have a proper understanding of who God the Father is. And we need to have a proper understanding of the Word of God itself. And we need to have a proper understanding of salvation. And we need to have a proper understanding of the local church. And we need to have a proper understanding of end times doctrine, eschatology. Because if we don't, we're going to be led astray by every wind of doctrine. And God says we're never to let that happen. We're supposed to be grounded in the truth. And the only way we're going to be grounded in the truth is if that truth is being taught. But it's just not a popular thing anymore to teach truth, to teach doctrine. We want to teach things that make people feel good. We want a pat on the back and be nothing more. We don't want the pulpits, and I think this is referred to directly when it says, heaping teachers to themselves, having itching ears, talking about the last days. They want a pastor who does nothing more than give them a 10-minute motivational speech. That's all they want anymore in the average church. They don't want to hear about sin and they don't want to hear about doctrine because they don't think these things matter. And then you look at the lives they live and you understand. They don't know doctrine because they wouldn't act and behave and do the things they do if they understood who God was in all of His holiness. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I don't sin, because you all know better than that. Because the Word of God tells us. But when I sin, I know I'm offending a holy God. Timothy had a tremendous task here. Paul had taught him. He was to teach others so that those others then could teach the next generation. That's how Christianity has survived all these centuries. Let's not let it die in our generation. There may not be many that are joining with us, but there are a number of churches that are. And even if there aren't, let's fulfill the commission that God has given to us to pass this on, these truths, to the next generation so that they get it, so that they then can pass it on to their next generation. Timothy had an awesome task. Only one way he'd get it done. By being strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. A second reason why Timothy needed to be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Look back in chapter 1, verse number 8, just for a moment. Of course, Paul's in prison. We'll talk about this in just a minute. He's never going to get out. He knows he's not going to get out. Well, he's going to get out, but he's going to get out by death. But he tells Timothy, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker. Now here's what we need to notice. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. In other words, Timothy was going to need the grace of God. He was going to need to be strong in the grace of God in order to withstand the persecution that he was about to face. To be able to remain steadfast. To not throw up the white flag and say, I surrender. And not join the world. And not give up on the ministry. And not turn his back on the calling that God has placed on his life. But he was going to need the strong to be strong in the grace of God in order to stand strong as a man of God to encourage others that they then can do the same thing. He was going to need to be strong in the grace of God so that he would not be ashamed of those that were suffering for the gospel's sake. It takes a lot of God's grace to stand alone, doesn't it? I don't know if you've ever had to do that before, but if you've tried to be a witness in the workplace, you probably know what I'm talking about. To be the only Christian, the only biblical Christian in the whole place. And have others make fun and mock you for it. There'll be some who respect you, but there'll be others who don't. For no other reason. Life is a whole lot simpler to just go with the flow. But God doesn't want us to just go with the flow. He wants us to go with the Spirit. And sometimes the Spirit takes us off on our own, where everyone else is joined together having a good old jolly time, and you're there standing against what they're doing. That doesn't mean we're supposed to change. It means we're supposed to stand alone and not get involved in what they're doing. It's called separation. It's another four-letter word in our Christian culture today. Separation. Not living like the world, but living like the Word of God commands us to live. That means we don't do some of the things that the world does. And we don't say some of the things that the world does. And we don't watch some of the things that the world watches. Why don't we do it? Because we want to be strong in the grace of God. And it takes that grace to say no to those things. Because we know that God has commanded us not to do them. And He's not commanding us to refrain from doing those things because He hates us or He's mean or He just doesn't want us to have any fun. That's not why God tells us to refrain. God says don't do those things because they're harmful. They're harmful. Look at our world today and the mess it's in. It's because they're indulging in the things that are contrary to the Word of God. God doesn't want us to experience that. He wants us to have His best. The only way we'll have His best is if we're strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and we remain steadfast through that grace in the face of persecution. That we have the courage to stand alone. Young people, if you hear teaching on evolution, can you stand against that? That's a hard place to stand. And that's where most young people are leaving the churches. Is over that issue. Because they go to a secular university and they're being strong-armed in the indoctrination of evolutionism. And they don't have the courage because they're not strong in the grace of God, strong enough in the grace of God, to withstand the peer pressure to agree with that professor. They don't want to receive the ridicule of that professor. And if you don't think that's happening, just read Sword of the Lord, or read the Christian Law Association on their prayer request. It's happening all over our country in university after university where a Christian is taking a stand and they're being told to get out of the classroom. They're being told you'll never pass this class, therefore you'll never graduate unless you change your views. That's persecution. You don't hear about it in the mainstream media, not even on Fox News, because they don't care about that kind of thing. But it's happening on a regular basis. Where Christian groups, there's a young lady, I don't remember where this is, I'm thinking Florida, but I'm not sure, who wanted to start a Students for Life group in her high school and was told she could not because it was too political. And yet they had young Democrats and they had all these other sodomite groups. They were all approved, but Students for Life was too political. Well, fortunately, she contacted, I believe it was the Christian Law Association, they're taking it up. And hopefully they can get that resolved where her rights, constitutional rights, are enforced. But praise God for a young lady in high school who's strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So you don't have to be an adult to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Young people you need to learn this as well. Timothy, from all references we have here in the Word of God, learned these things as a young man. And he lived it as he reached adulthood. And so don't wait till you're an adult to live for Christ. Do it starting today if you haven't started already. We'll just put it that way. All right, one third reason why I believe Timothy would need this grace. And that's simply to deal with the departure of Paul. Look over in chapter 4, verse number 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. Paul is telling Timothy, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He's talking about death. When he says offered, he understands that he's going to be giving his head to the butcher's block. That's just the way they did things back in Rome. And he knew he wasn't going to get out of prison alive. He would only go through death, which he'd be more alive than he'd ever been before because he'd be in heaven rejoicing with his Savior. But when you consider who Paul was to Timothy, and not just to Timothy, but to Christianity there in the first century, Paul was just a pillar. He was one that everyone looked up to. He had been responsible, humanly speaking, for the starting up of most of the churches we read about throughout the Scriptures. Paul was a man who had authority wherever he went, however he spoke. He was a man that all others knew was a man of God, speaking the Word of God and the truths of God. And Paul knew his life was short from this time. And he's almost saying to Timothy, "Look, Timothy, you're going to have to take my place." I think I've probably mentioned it before. Back in my other church, I'd have lunch with about a dozen other pastors once a month, and we kind of talk among each other. And I remember the guys laughing every time it happened. When there was a pastor who was at a church for 30 years or more, and he stepped down and they called someone else, and they'd laugh at that poor fella because they knew his time would be short. They knew he would never be able to replace that pastor that had been there so many years. And it's a tragedy. It shouldn't be that way. But we get used to one man and the way he pastors and the way he preaches and the way he does things. And sometimes it's hard to change. Because when a new pastor comes in, he's not the old pastor. And he has his own personality and his own way of doing things. And oftentimes churches don't adjust well to that. And so Timothy, who Paul is tapping on his shoulder and saying, "Look, you're going to have to be the pillar. You're going to have to be the one with the authority now that I won't be around any longer. Timothy, you've got an awesome task in front of you. Timothy, you're going to need to be strong in the grace of God to be that Christian leader." You know, Christianity is lacking in leadership. When they call Billy Graham the Pope of the Protestants, you know there's a problem. Where is everyone else to stand up? When they put men like Joel Osteen on the talk shows to get the Christian Protestant perspective, I don't identify with him because he is so far from the Word of God that I can't even identify with the man. Now, I'm not saying he's lost, but I am saying he's not preaching the gospel if he is saved. And I have no reason to... Well, yeah, I do. I was going to say I don't have any reason to question his salvation, but I think if he was truly born again and truly understood it, he wouldn't be as accommodating, let's just say it that way, as he is to every belief system. It just wouldn't happen. And when these men are promoted in places of leadership, there's a problem in biblical Christianity. Now, that doesn't mean we're not without great men of the faith. There's a lot of them. In Ohio, we have Kevin Folger. He's up in Cleveland. Had Pastor Cleveland Baptist Church has recently stepped down. And there's just a number of men. There's some that are becoming prominent in biblical Christianity in the state of Ohio. But you know, we need more. We need them in our local churches too. That others can look to and say, "Now there's a pillar of faith. A pillar of faith." The only way we're ever going to achieve that is to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What would you like to accomplish for Christ in your life? What has He called you to do? Now, I mentioned this morning that He has a very specific will for each one of us. The only way you're going to accomplish that specific will is to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How strong are you tonight? Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for making grace accessible to us through the cross of Calvary. All of Your riches, all of Your strength, all of Your power can be ours. At our disposal, not to profit from, not to exalt ourselves, but simply to serve You with. Father, help us first and foremost to have that understanding that we're just here to serve You. And then help us understand from there that we cannot serve You in our own strength or wisdom, but that we're entirely dependent upon Your grace. And Father, after we realize that, then help us to plead with You that we might be strong in that grace in our daily lives. All for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.